some of the names of God. And last month, John Reeves spoke to us about how God revealed himself as I am who I am, or Yahweh, Jehovah. And what we're going to be doing in the coming months is looking at some of the compound names made up of Yahweh and another name, which speak to us about the character of the God that we pray to. So in the next few months, we're going to be seeing names like Yahweh Nissi, Yahweh Makadesh, Yahweh Rophe. If you don't know what they mean, there's an advert for the coming months. Make sure you come along and you'll find out what these names mean. And tonight, our name of God that we're looking at is Yahweh Yireh, or if you like to be old school, Jehovah Jireh. It's probably a name that you've heard, most of you, before. And I grew up in church being taught that this name means God, our provider. Now, that's true. But actually, the name is even more wonderful than that. We can think in terms of God, our provider, as in, I'm looking for a job, I'm praying that God will provide me with that job next month. And it's certainly true that God is our provider in that sense. But the name is better than that. It's deeper than that. It's more wonderful than that. And we get the context in Genesis 22. Let me read some verses from Genesis 22. Sometime later, God tested Abraham. He said to him, Abraham, here I am, he replied. Then God said, take your son, your only son, whom you love, Isaac, and go to the region of Moriah. Sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on a mountain that I will show you. And the story goes on then, describing how Abraham and Isaac head for the region of Moriah. It's hard to imagine what's going through Abraham's mind as he gets to the mountain. And as they get there, verse 7, Isaac spoke up and said to his father Abraham, Father, yes, my son, Abraham replied. The fire and wood are here, Isaac said, but where's the lamb for the burnt offering? Abraham answered, God himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering, my son. And the two of them went on together. And when they'd reached the place God had told him about, Abraham built an altar there and arranged the wood on it. He bound his son Isaac and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Can you imagine? I can't. Isaac is often pictured as a little boy. Chances are he was a strapping teenager. Abraham's somewhere north of 100 years old. Have you ever tried to hold a baby down on a changing mat when you're trying to change the nappy? That's hard enough. Imagine trying to hold down an unwilling teenager. Isaac is willing. This is amazing. Such faith on the part of these two people. Then he reached out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called out to him from heaven, and we breathe a sigh of relief. Abraham, Abraham, here I am, he replied. Do not lay a hand on the boy, he said. Don't do anything to him. Now I know that you fear God because you have not withheld your son from me, your only son. Abraham looked up, and there in a thicket he saw a ram caught by its horns. He went over and took the ram and sacrificed it as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called that place, the Lord will provide, which is literally Yahweh Yireh. And to this day it is said, on the mountain of the Lord, it will be provided. What on earth was going through Abraham's mind as he trekked there to Moriah, being told that he needs to sacrifice his son, the son of promise? All Abraham's hopes and joys, and Sarah's too, were in this boy. The promises that God had made to Abraham, how he'd bless the world through his son, all hung on this boy, and he's told to sacrifice him. What was going through Abraham's mind? Well, we get an insight in the letter to the Hebrews. Hebrews 11:19 says, Abraham reasoned that God could even raise the dead. And so in a manner of speaking, he did receive Isaac back from death. Abraham thought, well, if God's called me to do this, maybe what he's going to do is restore my son from the dead after I've killed him. And he goes ahead and does it. He's about to slay his son. How on earth does he do it? That's what goes through my mind. Is that what goes through your mind too? There had been no resurrections recorded in history up to this point. But Abraham believes that's what God's going to do. Or thinks maybe that's what God's going to do. But he knows God's going to come through. How does he obey? Trust in the character of God. The God whom we're going to come before and pray shortly. He trusts in God to provide, and that's exactly what God does. As God, at just the last moment, through his angel, says, don't do it, Abraham, and provides a ram in the thicket, in the bush, to replace Isaac on the altar. And we get that wonderful name of God there in Genesis 22, Yahweh Yireh, the Lord will provide. But did you notice the tense of that phrase? The Lord will provide. It doesn't say the Lord has provided, though of course God had. the Lord will provide. This isn't just a grateful commemoration of what God's done. This is salvation historic. This is prophetic. Abraham realized this event spoke of something even greater than his son being spared. He saw something of the fact that it spoke of God's only son one day being delivered up. Do you know I'm overdoing it, stating that? Do you remember what Jesus said nearly a couple of thousand years later? He said to the Jews, "Your father Abraham rejoiced at the thought of seeing my day. He saw it and was glad." How did Abraham see what Jesus was going to do? I'm not sure exactly, but I'm pretty convinced this is part of the answer. That Abraham foresaw something of what we recently saw John the Baptist said when he saw Jesus and said, "Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." So, do you see? This name certainly reminds me that God delights to meet my needs in a crisis, that he provides my daily bread, that every good and perfect gift is from above, from my Father. It certainly reminds me of that. But this name doesn't speak primarily of my worldly temporal needs. Merely of my worldly temporal needs. It doesn't start there. It doesn't tell me that I always get exactly what I ask for when I ask for it in the way I ask for it. What it shows me is that when I approach this God, I know he can be trusted. Because this God gives me good things. Because this God has given me his son, has offered up his son for me. This is the God, this is what this name Yahweh Yireh tells me. This is the God who has met our greatest need. He's given his all. This name reminds me of this as I come to him in prayer tonight. This name points me to the cross, and the cross tells me that this God delights to meet my greatest need and my deepest need. Paul put it this way to the Romans, Romans 8:32. "He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things?" He'd remind the Ephesians that God was him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine. Did you catch the context of those verses in Romans and Ephesians? Those passages speak primarily of God's provision of the blessings of salvation to his people. God will see to it, God will provide that we are saved when we trust in Jesus, and then we will one day receive all things in connection with our salvation, which is more than we could possibly ask or imagine. Your salvation, my salvation, is greater than we can possibly grasp tonight. And we will receive all things, having trusted in Jesus. That's what the name's about primarily. So this name tells me that since I have trusted him for my eternity, I can trust him with my tomorrow. That if my soul's salvation is not beyond his ability to provide, then my daily bread is not beyond his ability to provide. My problems and my fears, the needs of my church, the salvation of countless souls is not beyond his ability to provide. This is the God who is in the habit of doing more than all I can ask and imagine. And I and we should approach him tonight, Yahweh Yireh, excited about what he will do when we pray. Expecting. We're just not very good at that, are we? My kids, they're 9 and 11. They are experts at coming to me and getting things out of me. And I don't always say yes. But here's the thing. More often than not, I do. Because I love to bless them. And they know they can come to me and ask. And they know that if it's good for them, I'm going to say yes and they're going to get it. How much more when we come to our Heavenly Father, Yahweh Yireh, knowing that he is the God who has provided salvation for us. If he's provided salvation, he will hold nothing good back from us that we ultimately need. This name makes me confident, as excited as I face an unknown tomorrow. He bids me come to him in expectation. This is Yahweh Yireh, Jehovah Jireh, my provider and the lover of my soul. Amen.